This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a cabaret act that journeys back in time to Storyville, an evening with Tennessee Williams, or a celebration of New Orleans music, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Jazz singer Anais St. John is back as Lulu White, Queen of Storyville, presented by the Jefferson Performing Arts Society and Jonathan Merez Productions. St. John's cabaret show brings to life one of the most infamous madams in New Orleans history through popular song and spoken word. Anais St. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, you have portrayed several iconic singers in past performances. Tina Turner, Donna Summer, and Eartha Kitt come to mind. How will this performance differ from those?
Well, this is the first performance I'm doing about a woman who wasn't a singer, a woman who is an extraordinary figure from New Orleans history, which I think is incredibly important, especially celebrating the 300th anniversary of New Orleans. A woman who was so infamous, and yet many people don't know much about her history, and I think it was important to tell it, especially during this year.
So who was Lulu White, and what attracted you to her story?
Well, Lulu White went by many titles, you know, Queen of the Demi-Monde, the Diamond Queen of New Orleans, the famous West Indian octoroon. Essentially, she was the proprietress and the creative entrepreneur of Mahogany Hall. She was a madam of the most grand brothel in New Orleans, in Storyville. So she was able to create this empire of sin, shall we say, and create a very thriving business for women who needed an alternative form of work in Storyville.
Now, she was a New Orleans madam, but she wasn't originally from the city.
She wasn't. In fact, where she was from was sort of a mystery. Sometimes she claimed to have been from Cuba, sometimes she claimed Jamaica, and sometimes she claimed Alabama. Where she was from is not completely known, but I think she sort of fed into the mystery that was part of her allure, because at any time she could be whomever she wanted to be, and that worked to her advantage.
Take us on your journey. What will audiences experience?
Well, first of all, just to make sure everyone knows, this is a cabaret show, and I'm not actually going to be Lulu White, but I am telling her story, like you said, through song. Her journey begins when Storyville opens in New Orleans, and how she was able to build this incredibly successful business during a time when fraternizing between the races was not accepted, and she was able to really go beyond odds of laws and the Jim Crow law, and she was able to build a business even when it was not acceptable in society. We go into her rise and her fall, obviously her demise coming from having to close down Storyville because of laws between segregation, and we had to go through some of her times with trouble with the law. She was arrested many times. One most famous story was when she shot at one of her lovers who did her wrong. But also she maintained her illegal business during a time when prostitution was outlawed, especially within 5 miles of an army camp. She was arrested for that and sent to Oklahoma to serve in federal prison. But remarkably, one of her stories is that she wrote to Woodrow Wilson, who pardoned her, and she was able to get out of that sentence. You can't keep a good woman down, and she just continued to persevere despite all of the challenges she faced as a businesswoman in New Orleans during that time.
Now, how do you bring her story to life through song?
Well, I am using some songs that are traditional New Orleans songs, such as New Orleans and Basin Street Blues and Don't You Feel My Leg. Some of the songs are not traditional songs, but they're more popular songs, and some are coming from musicals, and some are not well known at all. I'm hoping that the audience member will be taken on a journey, and through each section will be able to feel and know her story through these songs. You will really enjoy this show.
And two of the songs come from your own CD.
That's right. Don't You Feel My Leg and My Man of War, which is a naughty double entendre song. I mean, you can't do a show about Storyville without a little naughtiness in there, right?
That's right. We are talking about the Red Light District.
And I do want to say I had someone write the script for me. Her name is Denise Altobello. She's an educator and a writer. I also have Harry Marone working with me as musical director and also the arranger. So I'm teaming up with two amazing talents here in New Orleans to put this show together.
Is there a short monologue that you can treat us to?
during World War I when they opened Camp Nichols in City Park shortly after April 6, 1917. Lulu's high hopes about the war were shot down by the American Social Hygiene Association and its warning pamphlet distributed to all military men. And the pamphlet was called Keeping Fit to Fight. And this is directly from the pamphlet. The greatest menace to the vigor of any army is venereal disease, clap, syphilis. Escaping this danger is patriotic and sensible. Women who solicit soldiers for immoral purposes are usually disease spreaders and friends of the enemy. How might Lulu respond to that? Friends of the enemy? Ridiculous. At Mahogany Hall, we support our European allies. Friends to the Brits? Oh, but yes. My girls relish the Brits with their impressive stiff upper lips. And let's talk a little bit about Mahogany Hall. Four stories. It had an elevator that was ornate, and the entire inside was covered in mirrors. You know, we call it the Hall of Mirrors. She had the most costly paintings in the South, elegant French doors, and chateau-like turrets that topped the house. I mean, this was a grand mansion on Basin Street, 235 Basin Street. Mahogany Hall was the place to be in Storyville. Think about all of the jazz musicians who worked there. I know Louis Armstrong spoke of working there, Jelly Roll Morton, and Spencer Williams, who composed Basin Street Blues, was actually Lulu White's nephew. So he grew up being privy to seeing Lulu's ladies there too and composing music there. So what a magnificent place to see and be seen and to be employed.
It's got a rich history.
It really does.
What will we remember most about the Madame Storyville and the early 1900s?
That during this time, there was a woman who was able to use her creative abilities to build a business that was on the outskirts of society and to have it thrive in a time when it was not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. And despite any obstacles, she kept going. And that's, I think, very admirable.
Jazz singer Anaïs St. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you for having me.
Don't you feel
JPAS and Jonathan Merez Productions present Lulu White, Queen of Storyville, created and performed by Anaïs St. John. Performances run August 18th, 19th, 24th, and 26th in West Wego at Teatro Wego, 177 Sala Avenue. More info is online at jpas.org. The Tennessee Williams Company of New Orleans opens its fourth season with Vucare, an autobiographical work that takes us back in time to the early days when the playwright first fell in love with the Crescent City. Artistic director Augustin Carrero and director Bo Bratcher are here. Welcome.
Thank you.
You are celebrating the city's tricentennial with New Orleans plays. What was the attraction to this work, a lesser-known memory piece written about the playwright's arrival in this city in the late 1930s, but penned in the 1970s?
This is Augustin. It tells the story of a transplant writer who comes to the city and really falls in love with the French Quarter and the culture of the city and all the characters that he encounters. So I think it's a great kickoff to this tricentennial trifecta of New Orleans plays, because later in the season we're going to explore sort of older quarter characters who have been around the block, and then we're also going to take a trip up to the Garden District. So I think the story of the guy who finds himself planted in the quarter at the beginning of his career is a great kickoff.
There is no storyline, instead a series of vignettes about the characters living in a rooming house at 722 Toulouse Street. Tell us about this French Quarter address and the characters that live there. Bo?
Well, we're first greeted by the writer. Then, shortly after, we meet the woman who runs this home, who owns this home, named Mrs. Wire. Wire, appropriately named, for so many bristly parts of her character. Also sharing the house is a painter named Nightingale, who's dying of tuberculosis. A young woman who has escaped to New Orleans to dream and live. A hustler boyfriend of hers who works in a strip club on Bourbon Street. There's also two old women who are literally starving to death. And then there's the black maid that keeps everybody going.
Augustine, can you tell us about the themes that are being explored?
So many of the themes that you'll see in Vieux Carré come back over and over again in Tennessee Williams's plays and poetry and stories, like desire and escape and fear and longing and that desire to be connected to other people, just surrounded by other people in the most claustrophobic kind of way because the world outside is so large. And so these are some of the themes. And then just, of course, the brilliant, messy beauty of New Orleans that we see so many times in other plays, like A Streetcar Named Desire and Suddenly Last Summer, come through in this play. And you really get to see him looking back from the 70s at himself when he was first realizing these things.
A series of stories, a series of memories. Is there one you can share from the production?
Sure. It'll be played by a brilliant actor named Jake Bartouche. This is a piece from when the writer, whose initials are TW, just like Tennessee Williams, is alone in his room at night. He's just been left by one of the other roomers, and he's reflecting, and then something surreal happens to him. When I was alone in the room, the visitor, having retreated beyond the plywood partition between his cubicle and mine, which was chalk white that turned ash gray at night. Not just he, but everything visible was gone, except for the lighter gray of the alcove with its window over Toulouse Street. An apparition came to me, with the hypnotic effect of the painter's Sandman special. It was the form of an elderly female saint, of course. She materialized soundlessly, her eyes fixed on me with a gentle, questioning look, which I came to remember as having belonged to my grandmother during her siege of illness, when I used to go to her room and sit by her bed and want so much to say something or put my hand over hers, but could do neither, knowing that if I did, I'd betray my feelings with tears that would trouble her more than her illness. Now it was she who stood next to my bed for a while. And I drifted towards sleep. I wondered if she'd witnessed the encounter between the painter and me, and what her attitude was towards such perversions, longing.
This is Beau. I read this play shortly after I moved here, and it has stuck with me ever since and has been a play that I've dreamed of doing for over a decade. I couldn't be more proud of where we are right now. We have such a wonderful group of people that have joined this team and are telling these stories and just giving it their all. And as a director and as a storyteller and as an artist, I'm so fulfilled by all of their work.
Who's in the cast?
What a treat for me as a director. There's so many wonderful people. Jake Bartouche plays our writer. Tracy Collins plays Mrs. Wire. Local legends Janet Shea and Adela Gautier play our two older women. Megan Whittle plays our young lady. Levi Hood plays her hustler boyfriend. And Kyle D'Agrapont plays our Nightingale. And Lakeisha Glover plays our nursie.
That's quite a cast. Now, what makes this work special some 40 years after its Broadway debut?
I think one of the things that makes this play special is that even 40 years later, and going back to when it took place, even almost 100 years later, so much of New Orleans remains the same, and you know these people that you're encountering, and it's such a beautiful portrait of the humanity and the characters that you will encounter, whether it's 1938, 1970s, or today, that you'll encounter when you come to New Orleans. It's that beautiful, undying 300-year-old city that's unlike any other place in the world. And I think that makes this play very special, at least for me.
Artistic director Augustine Carrero and director Beau Brasher, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Tennessee Williams Theater Company of New Orleans presents Vieux Carré by Tennessee Williams. Performances are now running at the Marigny Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street, Friday through Sunday through August 19th. More info is online at twtheaternola.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Acclaimed New Orleans clarinetist, composer, and jazz historian, Dr. Michael White is celebrating the city's 300th birthday with a new CD. It's called Tricentennial Rag, recently released by Basin Street Records. Dr. Michael White is here. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great, and congratulations to you. I see you've been in a creative period, and most of the compositions are original works.
That's right, 10 out of 11 songs. I've been working on these songs for over a year.
Wow. Tell us about your journey and how you explore America's original music, jazz, an African-American contribution born right here in New Orleans.
Well, you know, jazz is not just a set of songs or a limited repertoire, but rather a style that can be used for endless creation and new ideas, both in improvisation, but also in creating new songs. So one of my goals over the last few years has been to look at traditional New Orleans jazz musical principles and combine them with original ideas and personal life experiences. And the idea is to create a new or continuing version of traditional New Orleans jazz that's different from the 1920s classic period of King Oliver, Jelly Roll Morton, early Louis Armstrong, or the 1940s revival of Bunk Johnson and George Lewis, to create something that comes from that musical tradition but also has values and a sound derived a little bit from my own personal life's experiences.
I love the title of the CD, Tricentennial Rag. How do you take this 19th century musical style, rag, and bring it forward for 21st century audiences?
Well, you know, rags were an important part of early New Orleans jazz, and a lot of times rags were improvised. So I came up with a traditional rag structure or form and an original melody I put on top of that. But we also developed the song into something that is very non-traditional in the sense we have a section toward the end that's used for improvisation, which is the main section of the song, that actually is derived from pop music, several sources, which I don't reveal, but when you listen to a lot of different kinds of music, it's simmering around in your head like a big gumbo pot. And when you start writing songs, different ideas and influences come up from a lot of places. And sometimes you're not even conscious or aware until later where some of those little snippets of ideas come from. And then you can take those and develop them or translate them, in a sense, into the language of traditional New Orleans jazz. People of New Orleans, places in New Orleans, all of those things were an influence, you know. There's a song, for example, on the CD called Sassy Creole Woman. Which is a recollection of some of the types of ladies I used to see when I was coming up as a kid. I'd see them at bingos and, you know, at the house and at fish fries and parties and church and things like that. And, you know, I just remember how they would be kind of judgmental when they saw something that they wanted to comment on or that they thought was strange, and they'd go, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." So the beginning of the song is kind of a moan reminiscent of that. The song just kind of reminds me of what those ladies looked like, how they talked, how they moved, things like that.
You've got something called Instigator's Lament.
In honor of some of our local instigators that are out there. Old people used to always say, when you have adversity and you have people for you and people against you, and the best revenge is success. And so the idea of this song is it's just kind of moving forward with someone just kind of has a positive vibe, you know, that's walking or marching forward towards success.
Song on the CD that is not an original work is the last one, When the Saints Go Marching In, and you do something very special with that song.
Well, you know, I had always said I would never record When the Saints Go Marching In, because everybody's recorded When the Saints Go Marching In. But, you know, that is probably the most popular song in the history of New Orleans. It's the song that people around the world still recognize when you say New Orleans. They say When the Saints Go Marching in many accents around the world. So we have a very different arrangement. We started out in the beginning like a slow hymn with just piano and clarinet. And then there's a little transition cadenza. And then we pick it up with just the clarinet melody. It's a clarinet feature, sort of. And then there's a great vocal by Greg Stafford. And after that, there are solos by the rhythm section. And when we get to the drums play a solo and then take the volume down low on the tom-toms, and the drums and the clarinet kind of start a musical duet, an improvised conversation, if you will. And then we take it out. So that's a very different way of doing the Saints.
It is.
And it was a lot of fun, too.
Say makes this music timeless?
Well, you know, New Orleans jazz, and that's what I'm hoping to show with this CD, is a universal expression of human life, of joy, of passion, a way of coming together. This is a music created from the spirit of the people, and everyone can understand that and feel it. There are emotions and passions in the music that we all share every day. And this is kind of an expression of that. You know, it's a celebration in the sense of New Orleans life.
Jazz clarinetist Dr. Michael Point, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
How we all gonna be in that number when the Saints go marching in? Now once I had a little playmate. She used to walk, 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 talk with me.
Dr. Michael White celebrates the city's 300th birthday with his latest CD, Tricentennial Rag, recently released by Basin Street Records. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation and from Christwood Retirement Center in Covington. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.